You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Camp Fire is the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in state history. And nearly 7 years later, recovery is still a reality, including for schools and students who are still overcoming learning loss. Carolyn Jones is a K-12 reporter with CalMatters, a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. And she joins us about the toll that the Camp Fire is still having on the classroom, as well as the lessons being applied today to give traumatized children a better chance at thriving long term. Carolyn's reporting is part of a larger collaboration with the Associated Press and other newsrooms across the country, looking at how school communities are recovering from natural disasters. The series is called Disrupted by Disaster. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So how did this collaboration come about and what sparked you looking into this?
Well, CalMatters and the Associated Press and some other organizations started looking at how many school days are lost or have been lost because of natural disasters. And we started compiling data, and the numbers are really staggering. I think since 22-23 school year, 3.5 million school days have been lost in California due to natural disasters. And then there was another study that came out that said that for every 1 week that a child misses school because of a disaster, they fall 3 weeks behind. And that's because they're distracted, they're perhaps traumatized, they have a lot of other things going on in their life. So we just started really looking closely at the profound impact that these disasters have on children.
And you focused on the town of Paradise. Was the Camp Fire the most clear example for you to learn about this?
Yes, because pretty much all the schools there were either destroyed or damaged, you know, so severely damaged that they couldn't operate for a while. It was the most disruptive example. And also it was 7 years ago now, so there's been a little bit of time and we can really look at lessons learned that might shed some light on what other school districts are facing now, like in Los Angeles and in other parts of the country. And so there was a lot to look at there. And so I spent some time there and talked to students and teachers and school administrators and people in the community and really tried to get an idea of where they are now.
I covered the Camp Fire extensively and traveled back to Paradise over the years to follow up on rebuilding and recovery. What does the town look like today?
Well, they are rebuilding, which is wonderful to see. It does not look like it used to look. I think, you know, a lot of people mentioned to me, you know, that in the immediate aftermath of a disaster, you know, they called it the hero phase. You know, we will rebuild Paradise strong and so forth. And there's this idea that you're going to recreate what was there. And I think everyone has seen now that is gone and that there will be a new town, and there is a new town, but it's different than what was there before. And a lot of the people are different, and it looks different, it feels different. I think the core of the community is still there and still working really hard to rebuild and retain that special spirit they had there. So it's kind of, you know, it's a mixed bag, which is, I think, you know, and a lot of families are still struggling with rebuilding and insurance companies and, you know, trying, even after all these years, trying to kind of find some stability.
When it comes to the classroom, I mean, you write that reopening a school is more than just rebuilding a building and flicking a light switch. Schools are a fabric of community. It is much more than a classroom. What did you learn about the complexities and the challenges of bringing that back after a disaster like the Camp Fire?
Well, in most communities all over the country, the school, particularly, yeah, the schools are the thing that kind of holds a neighborhood together. You know, people either sent their kids there or they went there or they drive past it every day. Family members might work there. A school is kind of the number one interaction that people have with any kind of institution, especially local public schools. And so the schools have really played a big role in helping Paradise rebuild as they very slowly start to kind of rebuild the schools and reestablish those tight-knit communities that used to exist. I think that the administrators I talked to said, you know, we're not there yet. We're not where we want to be, but they're getting there. It's been much slower than anyone thought it would be.
In the initial years since the Camp Fire, I remember talking to some educators, and there is, of course, a trauma and mental health component when approaching the classroom. Now we're almost 7 years out from the campfire, when you talk to school staff, other adults in the education community in Paradise, how is teaching different today?
I think students, I mean, everyone who went through that fire experienced some degree of trauma. And some, you know, what I heard is that, you know, in the beginning, they were focusing a lot of attention on the kids, when in reality, it was probably the adults who needed the support more. The kids were a little bit more resilient in the immediate aftermath. For them, the reality didn't hit until quite a bit later. You know, a lot of adults, teachers and administrators, they lost their homes too. And some of them were commuting from long distances and trying to comfort children in the classroom at the same time that they were dealing with, you know, their own issues of having lost a home or having their lives completely turned upside down. So that was one thing I really learned that really struck me. And then the other thing, too, is, you know, academics really fell by the wayside for a long time in Paradise. And some of the teachers I talked to said that if they could do it all over again, they would not totally, you know, forego reading and writing and math and so forth while they're working on the mental health component.
When talking about academics and how that fell by the wayside and learning loss, I know that standardized tests are just a snapshot, but were you able to look at some data to see what the difference was when comparing students in Paradise to maybe statewide averages?
Yeah. Last year in Paradise, only 18% of sixth graders were reading at grade level. Only 11% of eighth graders were doing math at grade level. Among high school seniors, only 13% met the A through G requirements to go to a Cal State or a UC. I don't think any students from Paradise High School went on as freshmen to a University of California campus. So significantly lower than the state averages in all categories.
You know, I think about a child who was in first grade during the campfire would be in middle school now, and some elementary school students are now graduating from high school. When you talked to students in Paradise, what did you learn from them?
Well, the younger the children were when the fire happened, the more resilient they seemed to be. I did talk to a group of, you know, I think they were fifth graders, fourth, fifth, sixth graders who were quite young when the fire happened, and they remember it very, very well. But they seemed kind of okay. The older students I talked to, I mean, it took them a long time to kind of get back on track again. A lot of them said that they were just, you know, acting out in class. They were very distracted for years, really lost interest in school. Even kids who had been, you know, straight A students before the fire, you know, a lot of times their families had to move multiple times. There's just a lot of stress on the family. I talked to one student who said that, you know, it was just hard because her family was very stressed out. And it was just really hard to, she started really not liking school, not wanting to go to school. She was absent a lot, and she just really fell behind. So the students I talked to said it took, you know, years to get back on track again.
Yeah, I mean, what you're getting to is stability. What does stability look like today in an education setting in Paradise?
Well, the town is rebuilding. The enrollment in the school district there is still less than half of what it was before the fire. And so when they talk about rebuilding schools, it's not like they're going to rebuild every school because they don't have the need for it. And it's kind of hard to predict where they're going to be in the future. There is a building boom going on in Paradise. You know, just going through the town, you see construction trucks rumbling all over the place. And so people are moving back there. A lot of them are new people, new families coming to Paradise. So when we talk about stability, that's part of it, too, is the community itself is changing a little bit. So the dynamic is a little bit different. Families are moving back, though, and a lot of families have rebuilt and working really hard to, you know, kind of resurrect and keep hang on to that thing that made Paradise a special place.
Yeah, and the challenges continued. I mean, the campfire was in 2018. Of course, there was the pandemic 2 years later. How did remote learning compound the challenges that students and schools in Paradise were already trying to overcome?
Yeah, it definitely didn't help. I mean, every school district in the country pretty much really saw steep declines in test scores and learning generally because of the pandemic. In Paradise, it was, you know, Paradise was no exception. So it sort of delayed their recovery efforts. you know, even more than they would have been delayed otherwise. And so that was just another hurdle that they had to overcome.
You also mention in your reporting, and it's an important one to mention, that the smoke from wildfires, it impacts schools across California, even out of state. What is the broader impact to education when you have a large wildfire like the Camp Fire or the Dixie Fire that is really impacting classrooms and school, even going outside for outside activities for youth?
Sure. I mean, when we talked about the number of school days lost because of disasters, a lot of that is because of wildfire smoke. So even if the fire is not near you, you're still being impacted by it, which impacts your health. And as you said, students can't go outside and play. They can't go to class. They're stuck inside. So it takes a health toll. And for students who have asthma or other kind of, you know, breathing issues, it means that they might be missing school when they wouldn't be ordinarily. Schools in a lot of parts of the state had to kind of upgrade their HVAC systems because of wildfire smoke, which a few years ago was just, it seemed like completely pervasive in California. So that's money that they had to spend that they could have been spending on other things. Wildfire smoke has a you know, a major impact on student learning.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with CalMatters reporter Carolyn Jones about the long road to rebuilding and recovery for K-12 education in the town of Paradise, nearly 7 years since the Camp Fire. Wildfires have continued in the year since, of course, in California. And the wildfires across Los Angeles earlier this year in January have rivaled the devastation in Paradise. Do you think the lessons learned from the Camp Fire when it comes to education is shaping how educators elsewhere in Southern California are rebuilding not only buildings, but also schools and campus communities?
Absolutely. In fact, a lot of the teachers and educators in Paradise are consulting with other communities around the country who are facing disasters over lessons learned, what works, what doesn't work. What you do on day one, you know, if your school burns down, what's the first thing you do? You know, number one is you make sure your students are safe. Number two, you track down your families. They've really learned, you know, kind of the short term solutions. And then what do you do in the medium term? And then what you do in the long term? I mean, one thing I've heard that kind of surprised me is they said, you know, the impulse is to address mental health exclusively. And while that's critically important because no one's really capable of doing much else, they said you cannot let that academic component go because then the students fall so far behind, then that leads to its own separate set of problems later on, further on down the road. So they're saying, you know, there's no reason why these things have to be mutually exclusive. You can have therapy dogs and baby goats and nature walks at the same time that you're learning algebra.
And your reporting is part of a collaboration, we talked about it right off the top, called Disrupted by Disaster with other newsrooms across the country from Hawaii to Puerto Rico. And they're looking at how school communities are recovering from the disruption by natural disasters. What have you learned from your colleagues in this collaboration?
Well, it's interesting to me how similar the problems are. I mean, those are all very different places, Maui, California, and Puerto Rico, North Carolina, and they're all different disasters slightly. You know, North Carolina had a hurricane, but the problems are the same, and the student, you know, the reactions are the same. And this is something that we're starting to kind of see a roadmap on now. You know, how to, you know, what are the similarities here, and how can we all recover together and learn from each other? And there's a lot of collaboration that's going on and a lot of research. And I think we're in a better place than we were a couple years ago.
If you're a parent or a guardian, you work at a school, what advice do you have about navigating the aftermath of a natural disaster for years on end? What were the big learning lessons that you took away as an education reporter?
Well, you know, in one, this was not for the Paradise story. It was for folks in Sonoma County. They had a number of devastating fires a few years ago. And the schools really became integral as part of the community recovery. They became kind of a hub for collecting donations and helping people, giving a place for people to gather and to grieve together and to heal together, really. The school really provided that space for the community recovery, which was so encouraging to see and really inspiring.
Yeah, and it seems like when it comes to Paradise, as well as other communities that have been impacted by natural disasters, I mean, recovery is still ongoing. I mean, that's what we're learning from your reporting. It's been nearly 7 years since the campfire. What are you interested in following up on?
Well, I'm hopeful, and I do think things are going to continue to improve in Paradise and elsewhere. And I think that these kids are going to, they've gone through this incredible experience, and they're going to be so strong and so resilient going forward. And they're going to have insights into disasters and recovery and healing. And I'm just really excited to see what these kids go on and do next. So I'll be following them as they, you know, work their way through colleges and careers and everything else.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, for sharing your reporting with us.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
And that is CalMatters K-12 reporter Carolyn Jones discussing the long road to rebuilding education in the town of Paradise, nearly 7 years since the campfire. Carolyn's reporting is part of a collaboration called Disrupted by Disaster with other newsrooms across the country, examining how school communities are recovering from the disruption of natural disasters. Still ahead, artist Jeff Myers has a new solo exhibit in Davis. We'll learn more about the work on display in Convergence. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.